You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
There's a place here at the table. Your coats go by the door. You can kick your shoes off in that pile on the floor. I hope you wore elastic, 'cause your waistband's gonna get tight. Eight times done, we're having a night.
Buonasera.
Buonasera, ciao, come vai?
Tutto bene.
Sì.
Wow, do you guys even recognize us anymore? We're basically Italian.
That's one of my biggest fears, is that I come back from vacation, I come back from Oaxaca and just start wearing like a poncho, and I'm like, this is me now.
Didn't we talk about this after your honeymoon?
Yep.
And I was like, Ari's not being racist. She was just in Argentina.
Oh my gosh. Did I seem racist?
It was talk of ponchos.
Oh, it's always ponchos. Because that's always poncho what I season. Think I could pull off.
Is there a world in which, okay, all right. I had a moment a couple of years ago where I really, and by a couple of years ago, I mean last year, where I really wanted a poncho, but I don't mean a poncho like
a carpet?
A Latin American poncho. I mean the shape of a poncho, but perhaps like in a different fabric.
Like a cashmere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had to say it.
We don't say the C word on this show. That is too luxurious. We can't, yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, that makes kind one. Of, yeah. But then I'm like, oh, I will look stupid as fuck in a poncho.
No, you wouldn't. You'd look chic.
No, I think to pull off a poncho, you have to be quite tall and have very small boobs.
It just looks like a scarf, mm-hmm. if it's a thin fabric, and you can kind of bunch it up.
Yeah, I just think it needs to like fall off of you, and on me, things tend to just sort of bunch. They just sort of like lay there instead of falling, you know? I think you need to be a curtain, a clothes hanger to really wear a poncho.
Don't you hate, that's like a compliment that mothers would give like girls in high school. Like, oh, well, she's got a great body. Clothes just fall really nicely
yes.
on her.
Oh my God, exactly.
Clothes fall nicely on her?
Yeah, and then you're looking across the street where there's a huge like fashion, like a design, what is that?
A showroom.
And it's like the clothes are literally just falling off the hangers. I see what the mothers meant.
She's not wrong. She's not even making a metaphor.
No, I'm just speaking a truism. So as you can tell from our introduction, we were recently in Italy.
And we, don't you hate when people talk on podcasts like this?
We had a really good
trip to Italy, and we ate a lot of pasta.
I can't even do it fully. I'm just looking at the. Sorry, guys. Hope we didn't blast out your eardrums. Don't worry. I'll work on the mix after the podcast. Yes, I know where you can like hear all the.
Ew. Yep. Okay. I can't go down this path. We had something to talk about, and a big thing to talk about. It's our trip.
Okay. Yes, we did.
I could see us talk about ASMR forever. I know. Yeah. I knew that's where that was going.
Queen of ASMR. I'm actually not, but I do. I do have it. Weirdly, neither of my parents does, and I thought maybe it was genetic, but I guess it's not genetic. Unless they're both recessive gene carriers. How do you play that?
What, yeah.
How do you play that?
Or it's recessive.
Recessive. Is that what I just said? Recessive?
Yeah, you did it.
Anyway, okay. So we were on our trip, but before we talk about anything, we've got to do our rose and thorn, which this week I thought, this is very basic, but I'm just going to say it. What was your cheese and what was your rind? Is that too boring?
No. I was thinking we could do like, I was thinking about things we've been drinking, and I was like, what's your, like, sweet vermouth and dry vermouth? But I love dry vermouth.
Yeah, so we love them
problem.
Both. What's your, I know, okay, what's like a grody thing?
Well, what's like,
well, your, but then we wouldn't have drunk it. What's yeah. your, what's your, wait, okay, when we were in Prague, I ordered a beer and the guy was like, you know, that's non-alcoholic.
Oh yeah. It starts with an R.
Radegast. Is it that? Or
yes, that's yeah. it.
Okay. So what's your Pilsner Urquell and what's your Radegast?
From our trip.
I don't know, or this week, of whatever you... Hey, the world's your oyster. You can talk about whatever you want.
God. My Radegast, start with the bad news,
yeah.
was... I'm going to go really simple here. Mm-hmm. I accidentally overcharred some beautiful Japanese eggplant that I bought.
Ooh.
Just really...
Wait, okay, how were you cooking it?
I was grilling it.
Grilling it.
It's grilling.
And you put oil on.
I put, okay. This is what I've been doing.
Grill it on a grill, not on a grill pan.
Yes, okay. On a grill. A gas grill, unfortunately. But really saves you time. When I am grilling eggplant, zucchini, any kind of like those kind, nightshade,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
like watery.
Anything
watery.
Deadly. Yeah.
I don't salt or pepper them first, and I don't even oil them. I just oil the grill.
Whoa.
Because then okay. they like stick and they don't collapse, and you get really good grill marks, and they're like sponges. So then as soon as they come off and they're hot, then I put whatever I want on them. So then they're not covered, you know, you don't have any like weird canola oil or anything on them from the grilling process.
Right.
And the salt, if you pre-salt them, they just start to like leach water, and then you have all these flare-ups.
Oh, interesting. But I also, but I like to salt it because I like for them to get really soft.
They like, still do get really soft.
Interesting.
But okay. I know what you mean.
Well, because I do feel like that's one of those things. I'm sure Serious Eats has like pages and pages about how to cook eggplant. Because mm-hmm. I do feel like that's one of those things where like maybe pre-salting is actually like an old wives' tale.
Yes. Well, eggplant, I do think you're right. It might be trickier. But zucchini, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. I love... It's... Okay, zucchini is to me a vegetable that cannot be eaten raw. Wait, ugh, never mind. I'm like already going against whatever I was going to say. Ignore me. Anyway, okay, so you cooked that, but you charred.
Yeah, so that was my rind.
Radegast. What was your pills?
My pills was in that same grilling session, I love a Cedar Plank's salmon, especially if I have to grill fish on a gas grill. It's like, what? Of course.
Yeah, throw that on a plank.
Mm-hmm. The grill was unexpectedly hot, and I closed it, and I opened it, and the wood was aflame.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, shit, 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 shit. But then, since it wasn't a flare-up from the grease and the gas,
yeah.
and it was just the wood, I was like fucking Francis Mallmann. Then it was incredible, because
delicious.
It was like... putting your salmon in an actual wood-burning fire.
Wait, okay, so with these planks, they're not supposed to go up in flames, right?
No, I probably didn't soak it long enough.
Oh, so you have to... So I've never worked with
You've never worked with a plank.
Before. I've never worked with planks before. So what's the deal? So you buy them,
mm-hmm.
and they're like quarter-inch thick,
yeah,
kind of, and then you soak it.
Then you soak it. They say... Some people say only 15 minutes.
Okay.
And they can just catch fire. I don't know, maybe something dripped, maybe like a little grease
yeah.
dripped and whatever. But it wasn't
But you reuse it.
No. Then you don't
Oh, it's a one and done.
Yeah, yeah. It gets pretty charred.
Well, you know how I feel about one and done.
But it's wood.
You're right. It's wood.
I mean, also
In fact,
it's
you
bad,
could use it then for charcoal.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, or
now
compost
I'm back on board.
It or
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, yeah, not having Just thinking about living in the city. There's no opportunity for cedar planks in my future, you know?
No, although I was scared that the grill wasn't going to work, so I looked up if I could do it in the oven, and it said yes.
Oh, so you just still got like a nice woody flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Delish. Ooh, a good piece of salmon. There's few things better. Okay, I was having a question about, like, we can also talk about this later.
Okay, but I think you should go first.
Oh, okay. It's related to salmon, just remind me. All right, my Radegast, my low point was, which Ari also experienced and Harry also experienced and Chris also experienced, was I got home and the next day immediately got a virus of some kind. Very brief, like a 24-hour, but on the one hand, it was bad because I had a fever, I was shivering, I was in pain.
Sounds bad.
But on the other hand, I was like, but I get to just like be in bed and treat this jet lag and this illness with like the utmost care, which was sort of, because I had a feeling that it was going to be short, and because it was short, I didn't mind. It feels like Chris's has been like maybe slightly more unendurable. But yeah, so that was definitely not great. And at the same time, I was sort of like, well, worse things have happened. Then, wait, my...
Pilsner.
When Harry and I were in Italy before getting to Lake Como, we went to a place, okay, this is the closest that I've ever come to enjoying, what's the word for a risotto ball that we both hate?
Arancini.
The closest that I've ever come to liking something close to an arancini.
Mm.
It was a polenta.
Mm.
And it was stuff, it was filled with like a very pungent cheese.
Mm.
And it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Arancini, there's something about the texture of the rice where it just goes full gloopy. Like if the rice that's in an arancini was served as a risotto, you would be like, that's unacceptable. That's not an actual risotto.
Yeah, well, it seems like there's some kind of binding agent in it to make it. I mean, it's like a... almost like a carnival food.
Yeah, it's very carnival.
So I feel like it's, they put whatever in it to, that's the least time intensive and cheapest, you know, to just make it all stick together.
But this was really exquisite and the flavors were quite delicate. It was very, very good. So currently that's my Pilsner, but like, I'm sure we have some better ones that will come through as we discuss.
Ooh, polenta.
Oh my
and
God.
I'm saying it in my head like Shakira. What song
polenta,
is it?
Polenta. Shakira. Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad.
What is
to be singing the song of polenta. Yes, singing the song of polenta. Well, so where we were in Italy, in Lake Como and in the Lombardia region, they make this polenta called Unica, and it's
Unica.
Polenta that is done with like a lot of butter and oil and like a quite stinky cheese. And
yeah,
it is so insane.
What is that cheese?
I don't know. I think it's just like their local cheese, but it's so fucking good. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was exquisite. That whole day was exquisite. We went on to sample more polenta when we left you guys and went on to Lake Maggiore. Red wine and polenta, that's all I want.
Be bad. I know. Well, okay, which leads me into, so since getting back, I have decided I got a book called Responsible Drinking.
Okay.
Because I'm attempting to learn how to drink, not quote unquote responsibly, because I don't think that I don't drink responsibly, but I think I have to figure out how to stop blacking out, because as people on this podcast will probably know, I black out incredibly easily. Because I got a concussion once when I was in college.
So fucked.
And it's just very scary for me. So it's like, it's never like, I'm never like in circumstances, knock on wood, where like anything scary is occurring. Like, I do think that my brain would, you know, kind of lock into place if something bad were actually happening.
Yeah, you haven't.
But it's like just crazy to have such a low threshold. So I'm like, okay, I need to just bring down my alcohol consumption to a place where it's like, I'm never blacking out anymore.
Okay. All right.
Please go ahead.
No. Sorry. I interrupted. Uh-huh. You were coming around to like your thesis statement. Well, I guess you kind of made it.
I mean, yeah, my thesis statement is just like, I bought this book and I'm reading it and I'm doing all of these worksheets.
Well, tell me what you've learned so far.
Okay. Let's see. I think I'm like 3 chapters in. It's really for people who are like, okay, I don't think that I have an addiction to alcohol, but I noticed it interfering in my life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I think of it is like, yes, definitely the blacking out is scary for me, but also like the shame spiral for me is so extreme.
Yes.
Like waking up the next day and because I black out so easily, I often can't remember what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
I live in this terror. It's like, I've never lost a friend. I've never, like, nothing bad, knock on wood, has ever actually happened in the blackout period. But because I don't know, like the anxiety is deeply excruciating.
Yeah.
So that is also part of what I'm like, oh, okay, that is something that I have to curb, because I can't wake up like, you know, once a month or something being like, oh my God, I feel, I have to text every single person who I may have seen yesterday and say, sort of, was I okay?
Yeah. Well, also you just, you don't have to do that. And so for you, you have to, that's part of like the remedy.
Exactly. It's like, it's feeling like, oh, okay, I didn't actually do anything shameful. I mean, it's like,
but you need
proof
from your friends.
Exactly. Because otherwise I will truly go for days being like, I must have done something terrible. I must have said something.
Oh my God.
It's so scary.
I think wow, I think my husband does that a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I do think that a lot of people, because it's like, it is a depressant,
mm-hmm.
and I think it also affects my sleep, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's awful.
But, so this book is basically like, you shouldn't drink more than 3 or 4 nights a week,
mm-hmm.
and like, you shouldn't drink more than 3 drinks each of those nights, which yeah. I'm like, that sounds completely doable.
Yes.
And I'm like, that, I would just like to set that as a goal and just stick to that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, wait, what do I... Because I always think what happens to me is that I get to a place and then I'm like, this is so fucking fun. Like, fuck it. Let's keep going.
Right.
You know, it's like I don't have the... Because by that point, I'm already drunk enough that I'm not like stopping myself.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
sort of like the third drink, or the fourth drink or whatever is like
yeah,
ordering
yeah,
the fifth and the sixth. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we'll see.
Wow, it has worksheets. That's what I'm really most interested in.
Mm. It's very artist's way for drinkers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. I just feel like I don't have the, you know, I knock on wood, I have not been concussed and don't have never blacked out. But
you never blacked out?
No.
Holy shit.
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, like, that's so crazy to me.
I'll, like, forget something, but then if when prompted, I'll be like, oh, right.
That's so... Because often people will, like, assume that I'm... basically sober,
course,
and I have, like, no recollection of what we spoke about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that I've been
concussion.
With you when you were blacked out.
Oh, I mean, a million
like, yes,
times. Way more times than I could ever count.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just have found that I, with age maybe, or hormones, I don't know, but it's like I don't even really get drunk anymore. Like,
wow.
for me to get really drunk, I start to feel sick before I feel sloppy drunk.
Wow. So do you feel like you go through a tipsy phase and then you
yeah,
just...
Yeah, and then it's like kind of done.
Oh, see, that's my dream. Like I love being tipsy. I love the feeling of like literally 1 to 1.5
mm-hmm.
glasses of wine. And after that, I'm like...
Right.
You know, it has really diminishing returns.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you say you don't get drunk anymore. Like, when's the last time you feel like you were like fully drunk?
I don't know. I don't know if there was a point in our trip where I felt fully drunk. I think like fully drink. I'm drunk right now drinking this tea.
Sure.
Turns out this green tea. I do feel wired. I think maybe the last night I was like a little drunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I would say that the one thing that keeps me from drinking more out of like boredom, or if the night is long or it's delicious, which often
yeah.
happens when you're drinking great wine with friends, is if I take like, if I microdose an edible.
Oh yeah. Well then you're,
you know, I'm not, but I mean like this, like not in any way to get high.
Mm-hmm.
It just like makes you not want to, I don't, it's just not less appealing drinking.
That's
suddenly to me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people have, some people, have, it's like there's just a preference for one
yeah.
over the other.
Like, I'll enjoy one glass of wine, but then it's like, oh, I'm kind of feeling good and giggly.
Yeah. Maybe I should just try microdosing edibles. Just substitute one thing with another.
Just try drugs, hard drugs.
Yeah, yeah, why not? Take the edge off of everything. No, I think the taste is a big thing for me. Like, I love the taste of wine so much, and I love
right.
trying different things.
Right.
And my other thing, and I feel like you actually really don't have this. It's like if something is in front of me and it can be ingested, I'm ingesting it. I don't mean with drugs, but it's like
I'm
if there's salami,
it.
Whether it's salami or beer or like a glass of water,
yeah.
like I can't have a thing in front of me that I know could be ingested and not ingest it, which is really...
I get that for
like,
sure.
Yeah.
It
so it's hard
on
for
the
me
level
to just be like,
of, yeah.
I'm sipping this one glass
yes.
and making it last forever, which
yes.
I think I just have to like change that because... Yeah, well, I just have to change
That's
it.
That's a really
you know?
Hard habit to break. I think with
yeah.
wine in particular, because you're like, I could just also drink this water sitting right next to it, but how boring.
Right, exactly. But
yeah,
where's the flavor profile in that? Or maybe that's the trick, is to be like, what are the notes in this water?
I think people do that, and we shouldn't become those people.
We should definitely not become those people.
Water psalms. Or maybe it was a parody,
it's a real thing.
Right?
Yeah, somebody wanted to set us up with one to have on the podcast.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That's
well,
why
listen,
I know what it is.
As an Evian girl, I'm sure water psalms would tell me that I am the dregs of humanity.
You think?
I love the flavor of Evian, but people are always like, it tastes like warm piss.
No,
like,
I've never heard
that. When's
the
last time you had warm piss? Because I don't think that's what it is. Yes. Oh, like multiple, literally like multiple people have said that.
Oh my God, I didn't realize. I thought that like Dasani was Dasani's just on another level.
Dasani's just filtered tap water.
Correct.
It doesn't come from the French Alps.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, I mean, I'll keep you abreast of my journey.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm like, I love the taste of alcohol. I love being tipsy. And I also, knock on wood, feel very lucky that I am not a person who drinks when I'm feeling sad.
Yes.
Like, I generally drink when I'm feeling happy. It's like a celebratory thing.
Yeah.
Which then, of course, makes me sad the next day when I'm like, oh no, like, that was celebratory and now I'm like in a shame spiral.
Right, but you had fun. You just have to convince yourself that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but so I'll keep you abreast of how it's going.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. That's great. And now also, it's the blacking out thing. Not great. And also, it's got a bad rap, you know?
Yeah.
It's like people are like, oh, she blacks out, he blacks out. It's like, oh, they drink too much, they have a problem. It's like, no, a lot of those people just, like yourself, hit your head too hard.
No, it's like, I can have like a beer and a half and like not remember things.
Yeah.
It's really wild. It's not like a, it sucks and it's quite upsetting. But I think there's a bunch of people from college who have similar experiences of like having had one too many concussions or something and being like, oh yeah, I black out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird to be casual about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I guess it just, you just sort of become like inured to the fact that you don't remember part of the night. Oh my God, it's depressing. Okay, anyway, this is my big question for you was, how do you feel about pickled fish?
Oh my God. Are we talking about Sweden?
Like roll mops and stuff.
I mean, I don't know why I'm laughing as if it's like, I'm going to give the common answer. But maybe in this country I am. I mean, I don't feel great about pickled fish. Sorry to disappoint you. Like, I love the idea of like a pierogi platter with like all different types of like Russian little aperitivo.
Yeah.
Oh, also, hold on. I just have something to tell you that I just thought of. It will wait. And a roll mop being one of those things. And I just never touch it. It's
me neither.
And when I do, I go, oh, I need a shot of vodka.
Well, yeah, to wash it down, to get the taste out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those foods to me, I feel like I'm, you know, I'm so proud of my palate in terms of like, I'm like, oh, I'm willing
topic.
To try. I'm like, I'm willing. Oh, fuck it. Like, I'll eat anything.
I eat everything.
There's nothing
yeah.
I don't like.
Oh, yeah. It's...
But pickled fish like really sits in a niche where I'm like, I
can't
just
do it.
Can't.
Yeah.
So we were in Italy. We went to this amazing.
Oh!
The mic did just literally drop itself.
It's did
on this,
like.
It's on the most unstable tripod of all time. Hold on, guys. I'm just going to move this again.
Why are these tripods all so bad?
And it even has like an Allen wrench and I try to tighten it and it doesn't do anything. Anyway.
Return.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to this amazing wine shop in Italy, and we had lunch in their wine cave, and they had, salted lake fish, smoked. Okay, they had smoked, two kinds of smoked lake fish,
oh, wow,
which were so
kinds.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
and
had...
And cured and smoked, or just smoked?
Just smoked.
Love it.
And then they had pickled lake fish. And it's, I'm like, oh, right, these are two... preparations that do the same thing, right? It's like it extends the shelf life of a fish, yada yada.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they are so different in their, which like, of course.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to think about. I'm like, oh, smoked salmon I could eat as many sides as the day is long or whatever.
Sure.
Whereas pickled, I just can't get near it. It's something about the sweetness that comes along
yes.
with it.
Yeah.
Sweet and fish do not go together.
No, but I don't think I would like any kind of pickled protein. I don't like a pickled egg. It's
so
weird.
I don't love a pickled egg, but I won't run from a pickled
But I'll
egg.
Do it.
Exactly.
If you hold me down.
Like, a pickled egg with a shot of vodka, I could live with.
Sure.
Our listeners are probably like, a shot of vodka, but you just said you black out all the time. A pickled egg with, like, a shot of horseradish vodka?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. A pickled anything.
Mm-hmm.
But with the fish, but you're right, like, a pickled meat...
Yeah, does that even happen? Why was pickling fish a thing anywhere? I don't know.
Preservation.
Yeah, but there are other means. Surely someone was like, this is not the way that we should be doing this in terms of flavor.
Right.
If we want to maximize flavor, I don't even love a cured fish. Like, what was the fish?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, cured fish. I mean, like a salted fish. Like a salt-packed fish.
Yeah, even the mezzotinto that
yes.
we had. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it's a very
dried.
Classic dish. from this area in Italy, and it's these small fishes, and they are salted and air dried. Exactly,
yes. They're like, and they're so I imagine it's like an anchovy,
but it's almost like become like leather.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't need my fish to be like leather. A small bite of it, I'm like so happy. But whereas a small bite of pickled fish, I can't. I kind of start to retch a little. Meanwhile, my dad like looks at a jar of roll mops and is like, oh my God, I've never seen it. Like he literally, my two parents, they will have a jar of herring and just like stand over the counter eating a jar of herring. And I'm like,
with what? Their fingers? I don't mean utensils. Like a small, I mean like what? Like a toast?
Beautiful fork. What do you mean?
No, yeah. I meant like, I realized what it sounded
no,
like.
No, with nothing.
With nothing.
Like that to them would be like the perfect afternoon snack.
That's so weird.
I know.
You know what? I realized there's an exception. I do kind of like gefilte fish.
Oh, I like gefilte fish, which is weirdly so like sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, but we don't like gefilte fish that comes from the thing.
I mean, I'll do it.
But how much gefilte fish can you eat?
Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, I have like a couple of bites, and I'm so proud of myself. And then I eat the little carrot on top, and I'm like, look at me, eating my gefilte fish.
Well, you kind of can't be eating it long enough to like fully notice that you're eating it.
But it's also not pickled,
isn't it?
I think it's like, it's so crazy what it is. You know what's so great about it though? I'm like, that texture is basically matzo ball texture.
Yeah, so it's like kind of bubbly.
I would eat anything in that texture.
Yeah, it's like moussey.
Foam.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Foamy fish.
Oof.
Yeah.
Woof.
But you're right. That's a good call. That's a very good call on the exception.
Like on the fourth and fifth bite, I mean, I could probably eat like a half of one, but then I'm the spread color out. And I'm like, oh, do I need to be eating that? I don't know. I do enjoy it for the first two bites.
Do you think that our palates will eventually like acquiesce to the pickled fish phenom? You don't think so? Because part of me is like, what if I'm 40 and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't want anything but roll mops.
Oh my God. What if like that? I mean, that's the kind of shit that happens, I feel like, when you're pregnant, but not just randomly.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden you're pregnant?
Woke up. That would be a great dumb movie. Sort of like a body swap, like 13 going on 30. You just wake up and you have completely different taste. Like,
oh my God.
How is she going to go about her day in New York? She doesn't want her bagel. She wants a roll mop.
She wants a roll mop and she's wearing Laura Ashley. Oh my God. Okay, what are other... I'm trying to think like what the other niches are of things that I genuinely like
don't
can't
like
do.
And it's embarrassing. I mean, I really don't love an anchovy.
You don't?
No.
Wow. Wait. An anchovy... Okay.
Yeah, like those right there.
Yeah. Oh, okay, then I'll tell Harry not to put it on the pepper.
I can do them... I could probably do it on a pepper.
But see, that's something that I became interested in later in life. But I only like the ones that are, like, packed in oil. I don't like the ones that are packed in brine. Because, again,
yeah,
it's pickled.
It's too much.
Like, if they still have silver skin on them, I'm not a big fan.
No. I don't know if I've ever had those. The ones that look like they're all full fish.
Yes. Like, sometimes they'll do they're it, cute. Like, on a Caesar.
Yes.
You've definitely had it.
Yeah.
So, anchovy in a Caesar salad, in the dressing, you don't mind it.
No. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't... It's not like, oh, it can't touch the pepper. I often... It's almost like I want to take the anchovy with my thumb and my finger and, like, wipe it and throw it away. I like the essence of it, but it's too much.
Essence anchovy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just it too is concentrated.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, it's extremely concentrated, which is why it's such a great thing to put in a sauce.
Yeah.
But I've become very into anchovies, and that's something that I really used to hate. Like, that used to fall squarely in the category of cannot touch.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish that we had thought of this earlier. Maybe we can come back to it next week, because there are other things that I have, like, deep-seated, like, embarrassment about not liking.
Oh, my God.
That I would never admit, but I feel like I need to get them off my chest.
I mean, like, a big one for me is basically, like, peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, I've known that about you.
Yeah, like, peanut butter in a... Peanut butter flavored anything cannot do. Peanut butter on its own cannot do. Peanut butter dressing? Hell yeah. Love a peanut butter dressing.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, so good.
Oh my God, when I was in college, I would always make like a peanut butter dressing. I would go around to all the stations. I would get like peanut butter from the sandwich station, soy sauce from like the stir fry station, oil from the salad station, and just make
That's
my...
That's so smart. I would always try to make my own vinaigrette. But, like, the mustard was basically, like, French's.
Oh, yeah.
And that balsamic they had, you know, why are we even calling it balsamic? Whatever the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so... I feel like kids now, like, college students now, are so much more acutely aware of food that, like, Yeah. Yes. Most students now who are interested in any form of food would like have a nice olive oil in their dorm or something, right? Or like have something that they can, that like they really enjoy, or maybe not. Maybe I'm totally full of shit.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Just like if I were in college now, I would just have a good olive oil and I would bring it with me to the
dining hall. I think I did that sometimes.
You did?
Yeah. And I would do like we would go out to the grocery store and get like avocados and stuff. And we realized, we can do whatever we want. It takes a while for that to settle in. Wait, I have a funny little story. Do you know the actress Troyan Belisario?
No.
You would recognize her. She was in Pretty Little Liars? Little Liars.
Younger.
She's our age. Okay. She went to Vassar our year, and also like a drama kid. She left, I think, either after first semester or first year. But we were, like, becoming friends. And I remember one day getting lunch with her. And I think she's from L.A. And she just, like, put together a salad. And either she brought grapes or, like, crumbled blue cheese and basically, she made a Waldorf salad. And I was like, holy shit. We're 18. And that, you know, I was a foodie. But as you said, times were different. And also...
Right. It would not have occurred to you.
No.
That's funny because my memory of my friend who was from L.A., which also I'm partially from L.A., so I'm not one to talk, but was that we would go to the dining hall and she would eat like half of her meal and then she would take her water and pour it all over her tray so that she wouldn't eat anymore.
That's not okay.
So dark.
It's not okay.
Eating disorders in the early 2000s, you know? Not early, you know.
Not. Yeah, not really. Well, yeah, not just not like early. Last year. Yeah, yeah.
We just graduated.
Oh, wow. I just got out of college.
That is... But that's... Yes, that's so good. I was mostly just standing at the granola station getting that strawberry yogurt and granola and...
Get all
dessert
the cereal.
Every day. For every meal.
Hold on. I want to go back to this idea of salads because I want to remark on some really great salads that we had while we were in Italy.
Okay. All right. We had some incredible food. Something that has stuck out in my mind that I can't stop thinking about, thinly sliced cold roast beef.
Yes.
Wow.
Just had to say it.
All right. I got it out. On to you.
Yeah. I mean, imagine it. We just had it kind of as a sliced meat Italian style, but imagine it on a sandwich.
But I loved that it was served as a sliced meat Italian style because it's like you never think of that. You just think of like salumi and stuff, and it was so...
I fucking love roast beef. I love a roast beef sandwich with mayonnaise and tomato, and that's it.
Interesting.
Okay, so good.
Well, one of my favorite sandwiches that I haven't had in so long, and maybe I'll get it for myself tomorrow. Roast beef with brie.
Yes.
And a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of mustard, and that's it.
No, I feel like there's always arugula on that sandwich, but sometimes they call it rocket. Why are more people calling arugula rocket? It's such a better name for it.
It is so much because it rockets you right out there. I know it is a way better name. So much more fun. I don't know. We can start the rocket movement. Well, people are going to think that we're assholes and are trying to be British.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So we can't.
All right.
Arugula it is. Fuck. Okay.
So just the roast beef, the cheese, and the mustard and the mayonnaise. Cheese.
Yeah. Maybe. No.
Is there a fig situation?
No. There's nothing sweet. Okay. No. It's like a purely... God, where can I get this sandwich tomorrow? Fuck, I'm suddenly having... But it's got to be on, like, a roll. It's, like, more of, like, a hero-y sandwich.
I see.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Maybe a piece of lettuce.
Oh, God.
Okay, wait. Talk to me, though, about the salads. Because it's the season of the salads, and I'm making, like, 4 salads for dinner tonight.
Yeah, I know. I'm always so perplexed suddenly when the farmers' markets and start to become abundant, and there's so many vegetables. I'm like, wait, what? What do I do? We had, fennel shave. Wasn't there a salad we had with fennel, but it wasn't your typical, was that the one that had eggs in it?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
I feel like there were a lot of things that were made creamy that I wouldn't expect, and then a lot of things that are usually creamy that were made not creamy.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, this month's Cooks Illustrated, whatever, this summer's Cooks Illustrated has a series of non-mayo-y chicken salads, one of which has like an avocado dressing that sounds avocado whipped, like that you would put like puree with like dill or something.
Okay.
And then like one that was mustardy. They just sounded so good.
Yeah.
Because mayo-y chicken salad, you know, me and the mayo.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest points of contention.
I know.
I'm putting a mayo-y chicken salad on a sandwich, and I'm also putting extra mayo on the bread.
I know
that's
you are.
Me. That's me.
But that's just me. Okay, I'm trying to think of like more exciting things that we ate. Well, so then we went to Prague. Italy was fabulous. We ate wonderful food. I weirdly didn't eat that many pastas in Italy, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. I eat pasta at home all the time. Prague, a little bit of a revelation, I gotta say.
The food we had in Prague was unbelievable.
And I think we both had this real worry of like, it's very touristy. There's nothing that is like not touristy because we were staying in an old town. We're staying in an old town and like we really were only walking. We didn't take a single Uber. We didn't get in a subway. We were really only walking.
That's true.
Which meant that we were really only in the touristy area. So I'm not saying that all of Prague is touristy, but like where we were certainly was. So we were like, the food is just going to suck. We're just going to like accept it and just eat shitty meals, whatever. Every single meal blew it out of the water.
Yes. Oh my God. Just like we stopped, we needed the day you got in, right? We stopped for like a little snack, a little chip hour, if you will.
Yeah.
We got like, what did we get? Oh, a sausage. That was maybe the best sausage I had on the trip.
That sausage was incredible.
Incredible. So like really big red, like great snap, almost like a real hot dog.
Yeah, totally. But huge.
Huge. Big, the girth.
Yeah, the girth.
Woo!
And then we had like tomatoes and mozzarella, and this was like a random place on the side of the street in the middle of a tourist area with like quite good mozzarella.
Yeah.
And then we had nachos.
Which were good.
Which were made with Doritos.
Which were good.
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently it's a flavor of Dorito that doesn't exist in the States.
No, that was a straight up Cool Ranch.
No, it wasn't.
You don't think so? It wasn't the color of Cool Ranch, but I think it was the flavor of Cool Ranch.
It was something different.
Interesting. I won't argue.
Oh, I wouldn't know if it was Cool Ranch. Excuse me.
Then we went to a place called Locale, which Ari was extremely resistant to going to. I will have everyone know. She was like, it's going to be brightly lit. And like, it's called local, which means there's going to be no locals there.
I was worried seeing the sign. But go on. Yeah, that's correct. That is what it said.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Also, just like drinking beer in a large room at a big wooden table. There are a few things that sing to me more.
Yes, you little German.
Yes.
You
little German, you.
And then our last night, we went to this restaurant, which kind of felt like the way, you have to tell the story of getting the table, but it felt like a Prague version of like a barbecue, just in terms of, you know, there are five things, I should preface this by saying they specialize in pork knuckle, which is I can't believe I haven't had pork knuckle before.
This is why we have to go to Germany. Like the next time we travel together, it has to be to Germany.
Yes.
Oh my God, you're gonna freak out.
Yeah, pork knuckles everywhere.
Truly everywhere.
Ugh.
They do pork knuckle, pork rib.
Yes, and then a bunch of sides, and you split everything, and it was fucking, it was glorious.
We also had like one of the best pizzas I've had in a really long time.
Oh my God.
Guys, it's called San Carlo. If you find yourself in Prague, you gotta go. Okay, you gotta go to Porks.
Yep.
Gotta go to Local, and you gotta go to San Carlo.
Yep. And you gotta go to the seafood place that we went to.
Oh, yeah, that was so great.
Blue Fjord? Is that right?
Maybe. All right. Very good. One of these places you just pick out your seafood.
I think it was Blue Fjord.
God, those oysters were good.
The crab was so good.
Yeah, the crab was
amazing. It was insane. Yep, well, Prague.
Prague knocked it out of the park.
Really did.
Well, I wanted to say something else about pork. Oh, yeah. Well, we arrived at this restaurant. Mm. That was so, okay, so this was incredibly bizarre. So we arrived at this restaurant. Hi, Chris Geary, by the way.
Hello.
We were visiting our friend Chris Geary. The reason why we were in Prague, let me go back. The reason why we were in Prague is because our beautiful friend Chris Geary
is a vampire. Yeah.
Is working on Interview with a Vampire, which our friend Roland Jones wrote and our friend Adam O'Byrne is producing. So it's very exciting and we had many reasons to go and visit. Plus, we had never been to Prague before. So on our last night, thank God Chris had the night off, we went to this place called Porks, which is right by the Charles Bridge, i.e. like the most touristy place in town.
Yep.
And yet the food was outstanding.
Yeah.
And we're standing outside sort of waiting for a table and the guy comes up. And there's like two other parties waiting. Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell the story.
Well, let me help you out. I mean, you're doing really well. I can never drink green tea and record again. P.S. I feel like I'm on cocaine.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So we were waiting and this guy comes out. And there were four, what did you say? Three or four couples?
Yeah.
And he asks where we're all from, as if like that's what, apparently that's how we were going to get a table. And we said we were from New York, and there was another couple from, I can't remember, all over.
Yeah,
Australia?
I think there was like an Australian Vienna. Guy. Yes, exactly, yeah.
Austria, whatever it was. And he just kind of looked at us. How would you like describe that behavior? He was a little smug.
Yeah, very smug. Yeah. Of also sort of like, oh, you're fucking Americans.
Yes, and then just kind of stood there. It was very manipulative in a way that I kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, what's he going to do, you know? And then you just had the good sense to just chime in with some German.
I said, well, I'm German. And then he goes, right this way. It was
Well, no, you like had a little interaction.
Yes.
In German.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, follow me.
It was so weird. It was like he was choosing, which, P.S., that's the fastest I've ever got into any club.
Yep.
It was like he was at the door. He was a bouncer at the door. And he was like deciding which hot girl to let in. I mean, I'm using hot girl as a euphemism
exactly.
for like which nationality, I guess.
Yes.
Which sounds completely racist and problematic.
But I wonder if that's like part of the shtick, like a wiener circle in Chicago where
right.
like they just kind of act a little like dicks.
But everyone else there was so friendly that I feel like.
But maybe that's like his thing.
Could be.
You know,
totally.
That's kind of what like, it felt like he was performing
a bit.
He
wouldn't need a thing. And then he let us like the best table in the it was very exciting.
Yes, the whole exactly. It was theatrical from start to finish.
Yes, totally. And then this meal was incredible. Also, just like the beer, there's something about the I don't want to say the freshness
I think
of
it
that
is the
beer,
freshness.
But I'm like what is that automobile?
Okay, what do you think it sounds like?
It's a guy on two wheels wearing like full
goggles.
Ski goggles
mm-hmm.
and like chugging it all the way down Fifth Avenue. What do you think of this?
I mean, honestly, it sounds to me like a lot of bees. It sounds like a drone. It sounds too electric to be, it doesn't got the brrr of a motorcycle.
No, I think it's like, I think it's
sounds
shooting
like, a lawnmower.
Like black
Moyer.
Stuff out of the...
Please help me.
That's the green tea. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was going to do
Jesus
this to you.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just hoping to beat my jet lag by staying up until 10 p.m. tonight.
I somehow didn't get jet lag.
Really? Ew, I hate those people who are like, jet lag is a myth. I'm like,
it's not
a myth.
I actually think the jet lag just like bonked me into a healthy sleep pattern.
So I weirdly didn't have it to Europe.
Uh-huh.
But I had it on the, now I'm, for some reason, I never get it this way, but this time I am.
Huh. Well, you're also still a little sick.
Oh, stop.
You can use it. Use it. As an excuse.
Yeah, I'm still sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that guy was just going off with his lawnmower.
Prague.
God,
I want to just say one other thing about Italy, just for so we can practice this recipe and saying it out loud.
Oh,
those potatoes. We had some incredible potatoes, and the chef, the insane chef, told us how to make them. And
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You start.
Okay. You take a pan. I'm going to try and be as descriptive as possible as if we're writing a recipe.
Yes.
A heavy bottomed pan with high sides.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you fill it with maybe an inch of olive oil.
Quarter inch.
And you start to warm it. Okay. Wait, what kind of potatoes were they?
Oh, fuck.
Were they like...
Like
gold,
I would say it's
Yukon?
Like a Yukon gold kind of a thing because they weren't puffy like a
russet.
Like a russet, exactly.
Yeah. They were
quartered.
Waxy. Quartered.
They were waxy, exactly. So waxy potato quartered, and you're just warming the oil. This is not splattering.
Mm-mm.
It's just like warm. Then the potatoes are cold.
Or the like potatoes go in. I don't know if the temperature of the potato matters. It might.
Okay.
Fuck.
Okay. The room temp.
Room temp.
You put in the quarters, okay, then
once the
happens?
Oil is hot.
Yes, but not too hot.
Not too hot. They shouldn't start to fry.
Yes.
Then you cover it or put in, like, I don't know, another quarter inch of broth.
First you let it, like, brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then you turn them.
Yes, exactly. You turn
them.
So, like, you want to get it brown on the whatever sides you cut.
Yes. Oh, and they were almost cut like a barrel. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's so cute, little barrel. So then you could get, like, a nice... beautiful, like, almost like a creme brulee on each side.
Yes.
So they weren't triangular or, like, geometric in any... They were barrels. the only way to cut. Or like tubers. Anyway, yes, turned them, then put broth in there.
Yes, so then you were going to put chicken broth on.
Cover it.
Cover it. Cook it.
Cook it.
And that's all she... I love how we're like, okay, we're going to be as descriptive as possible. But like, it's really simple, but I think I have a panic about... Oh, no, you're adding your aromatics.
Go.
Okay, I think once it's in the oil,
yes,
you add your aromatics. So first you let them brown, then you add your aromatics. Mm-hmm. Let them cook a little bit with the aromatics, mm-hmm. i.e. rosemary, garlic, thyme. Mm-hmm. Then you cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the chicken broth.
Oh, and there was then butter. There was butter in there.
There was butter. Yeah.
And covered, and then, I don't know, he just kind of let them do their thing.
I mean, it's sort of like, have you ever had really good potatoes, Anna?
No.
It's like a potato cake, but it's like cooked in, not just, it's thinly sliced potatoes.
Mm.
Imagine in like a cake pan or something.
Yes.
But it's not just fried in oil. It has broth in it so that they get not just brown, but also like...
I think I have had that.
Unctuous.
Yes.
That's the word.
Well, they just absorb everything. And that's why the oil has to be warm first, because they'll just start to absorb the oil. But if it's warm, the potato like won't take that in.
But I think they do take it in. Like some of it. You want it to be buttery.
Yeah, right? But like not too much, you know?
Let's just try it.
Yeah. We'll get back to you guys next. Hold on. Right now, we're going to go make these potatoes. No, we won't.
Oh, we're so good.
Yeah.
So freaking good. So much good food. And now so my body by the time... So Porks was our last meal.
Yes.
And my body was like in full rejection mode. My body was like, you have to stop. You actually have to stop feeding me and drinking so much. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting into bed and being like... trouble breathing. I mean, it was not pretty.
Yeah.
So like, I'm very actually relieved to be home. But I'm like, what's the way to travel where that doesn't happen to you? Where you're gone for 3 weeks and yet you come home being like, I feel like I never left.
I think you have to be extremely active. Like for our honeymoon, I didn't feel that way, but we were eating so much. I've never eaten so much in my life, but since we were doing so much hiking.
Yeah.
It was crazy because the last week we didn't hike, but the middle week we did so much that it like spiked my metabolism.
Wow.
I remember we like got off a train and I had eaten like a sleeve of cookies and I was like, what is wrong with me? Wow. My body was just like burning it. It was amazing. Yeah. All the walking we did. But yes, I think today is the first day I've had an appetite back.
Yeah, same. I mean, I was sick one day.
Yeah.
And then I just had juice the other day, which, like, I haven't done a juice anything in so long. But I was like, well, I think I just kind of need a bunch of green juice.
I know. And it's always so... You start the vacation so excited to eat, and it's so fun.
And then it becomes a chore.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But then I think it's like, oh, just actually finding more of a happy medium instead of... Because like I said, when I see something that is ingestible in front of me, like, I'm going to ingest it.
I think on vacation, of course, too, because everything's so new and you're only there, you don't know if you'll ever go back there.
But I think then being like, oh, I'm actually tasting this and like, this thing I like, but I don't love it.
Yes.
Maybe I don't need to eat the entire thing. You know, like that kind of attitude. I mean, I don't know how to do it, but, you know,
yeah.
It exists for someone.
Oh, you mean like the... I see what you're saying.
Just like, oh, this bread that's sitting here, like, it's not actually that great. I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, those people who are like, yeah, I just always lose weight when I go to Europe.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're not doing it right, actually.
Yeah.
But
I think try and be as active as one can. But sometimes that's just, you can't. Sometimes you just want to go lay on the beach. Yeah. And you just are going to feel like shit at the end of your trip.
And then you come home and the body's a rubber band. It's fine.
What was your juice cleanse, if I may?
I didn't really do a juice cleanse, but I found this place called Ohm on Madison and 27th that does glass bottles.
Mm.
So I just went, I got like a beet one that was so yummy. They were all really good because they had a lot of ginger and maybe even a little bit of cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
I got a carrot one that's like better than any carrot one I've ever had. And then I got a couple green ones. And then I also got out a bunch of my chicken broth from the freezer.
Great.
And I did chicken broth with turmeric, cayenne, ginger.
Yeah.
And that was so tasty just to like sip on.
Yes.
And now I have to use the rest of it to like make a rice or something.
Ugh. A good broth. We've said it once.
And we'll
said it a million
it
times. But a juice cleanse. I remember back when juicing was all the rage. Remember where it felt like you couldn't turn a corner without seeing a juice shop? It was truly despicable. New York trying to be LA.
And also, like, juicing is fucking over.
It's over.
Like, I did this not because I...
No.
I had to.
You had to. You didn't want anything else. You just needed nutrients.
Yes, exactly.
And it does feel good to, like, just fucking down a good green juice. Yeah. Of course. There are reasons why people have been doing it forever. But to juice, you know, that kind of whole juicing trend was so annoying. But I remember doing one of many that I did and being like, oh, wait, so I could have soup? Like, how come I can't have soup?
Right. Yeah, why can't I just have pureed vegetables like things that are liquid. Salty?
Yeah.
I know. It's so true. Exactly. Instead of, like, so much sugar. Okay. If juice bars have been replaced by something in New York City, what do you think it is? Because I have the perfect answer.
Are we just talking about... okay, hold on. Are we talking just purely in terms of real estate?
Pretty or... much. Yes. Real estate, but also perhaps, like...
Food trend?
Yes.
Diet trend? Or just food? Food trend. Okay, I'm going to go really wild card.
Okay.
Like, bag your own nut shops?
Whoa.
Those are popping up all over the place. I'm like, there's some kind of money laundering scheme happening.
Yeah, there's one now on 6th Avenue.
Yeah, I think bag there's one right over nuts. On Broadway. It's just
really?
Like nuts and fruits. And which it's like everyone wants their own sahadis. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say poke.
It's back?
You don't feel like every juice place that was like replaced by like a poke place that was probably run by the same people?
Probably, but I thought poke ended.
But that was like to me the immediate after effects of juice was poke, right?
Yeah,
where it was still like, oh, it turns out like we need protein. And so all of a sudden it became like all these poke places where you're like, where the fuck is this fish from? How are they getting this much salmon?
What
are
these cubes that you're calling tuna? I know. I'm just why do you... Oh, oof.
I mean, real poke is one of the greatest things on earth, but poke in New York City for, you know, $8,
not even. It's like for $18.
Oy, oy, oy. But okay, great. And then poke led straight to bag your own nuts.
That's right. There must have been something in between. COVID, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Urgent cares.
Oh my God. Yeah, if we're going from a pure real estate place.
Oof.
Wait, I'm trying to think, like, what are the other... foodie trends. Well, guys, you know, we've been talking for long enough. 52 minutes, to be exact.
Ooh.
Oh, if you guys are looking for a good podcast that's very interesting and about being a woman and how much female experience is doubted in the medical world, it's called The Retrievals. It's on the New York Times and it's on podcasts
and it's
apps and it's...
Well, it's part of Serial.
Yeah, exactly. It's
as if they need any advertising.
No, but I'm just saying, like, Jill told me about it, and I started listening. It's very fascinating.
Everyone should listen to it, for sure. It's not like
including
a niche
men.
Story. Exactly, exactly. I will say also, if we're just giving free recommendations, free advertising, watch Interview with a Vampire, guys, if you haven't seen it. It's on AMC, and it's really, really good, and I'm not a vampire person. But
I, on the other hand.
Ari
was like, well, are you a vampire person? I was like, well, I read all the Twilights, and I saw all the Twilights,
and I love True Blood. I'm bringing it all full circle. I don't like it because it's kind of like, there's so much like mouths on neck sucking sounds.
Yeah, I think if you just listen to it, that's gnarly.
But it's also like the faces that people make when they're about to suck their blood.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
Interview with the Vampire is fantastic. And our friends are on some of our friends on the first season, second season. And
congrats to all of them.
And great that they're working.
Exactly. And some of us on no season. Just kidding. All right. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. You know, we hope that it's okay that sometimes we take these random breaks, but we hope that you...
Yes, it's fine.
I'm having a moment with our listeners. God, it's fine, she says. I'm just saying, I know like most people do podcasts every single week and they're reliable, but I think we're sort of currently not. And like, I hope you guys still enjoy listening.
But I think we could also, I'm saying this on air so we remember, we can just play older episodes, re-release episodes. That's what... normal podcasts do. Because
then it shows up in people's feed.
Yeah. It pops up at the top of their feed. And also, I mean, we have so many great episodes that since we're always doing new ones, they get lost. And then you have to like scroll and it's still so hard to find which podcast you want to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think we should be in the habit of doing that.
Ari listens to more podcasts than I do, so I'll trust you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. We're about to go on a show. We're about to go see a show.
Did you microdose?
No. I'm sober as a canary, sober as a judge.
Cat? Judge?
Yeah, sober as a judge. Mm. I think that's using the word sober in two ways, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, love that.
All right. Love you guys. Maybe see you next week. Assume so. We will see you next week. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Is how you say, it's sort of like ciao in Czech.
Yeah.
And what else did we learn?
Dobrý.
It's like woo.
Děkuji. Thank you. And yep. Prosím, please.
And then there was one other one that I can't remember, so we'll leave it at that.
If you're Czech, check us out.
Yeah, nice.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.